somebody's neck, shake somebody's hand. You can be seated this morning. Welcome to the old Bethel Assembly. Glad you're here. Glad to be here with you. Exciting stuff. Stephen will share with you a little bit more about moving forward and the new building, and we're stoked and we're excited about all that. And so mainly today we're excited to be here with you. We're going to close out our fall series this entire fall. Since school started back, we've been talking about being fruit producers. We've been talking about how when we produce fruit, it brings the glory of God and it glorifies God in our lives. And so today we're going to be reading Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verse 22 and verse 23, and then we will pray and we'll see what the Lord would say to us today. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness," here's where we'll look today, "faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law." Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, challenge us. Holy Spirit, anoint me to preach and speak your message. Let your word go forth. Prepare our hearts to receive this word. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Today we're going to focus on the final three fruits of the Spirit: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These three fruit of the Spirit would point to the character that you and I are supposed to walk out in our lives as Christ followers. It's our character. It's how we conduct ourselves. It's how we live our lives. We just sang that song, and I love that song. How many of you would agree today that we need a move of God in our country? That we need a move of God in our churches, that we need a move of God maybe in your life, maybe you need healing, someone you know needs healing. We need God to move, and I just want to say this right quick, that God can move and God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, because he is sovereign and he is God. But when you read the word of God, you will see that when God's people begin to line up with the character of God, when we start walking out faithfulness, when we start walking out gentleness, when we start exercising self-control, that creates an atmosphere where the supernatural power of God can come and move and do something. And if you and I want to see God move, it doesn't start with coming to church. It doesn't start with singing a few songs. It starts with reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God in our lives, and knowing in that moment, God can do anything, anytime. It's the character of God. And so today we're going to talk about these three qualities, these three fruit. Number one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. When I was young, I was telling my boys, Jennifer and Clara are gone. The boys came to the house last night. They spent the night with me. We were hanging out. We were talking about faithfulness, and we were talking about this sermon, and I just said to them, like, faithfulness is not really a quality that is celebrated anymore. It's not just being faithful. And I can remember when I was a kid, people that were faithful, man, they were the pillars. They were the strongholds. They were the one I think about. My granddad, he was faithful to work hard. He was faithful to have several jobs. He was faithful to do what he had to do. Wade Parmalee, faithful. They were faithful to work Jack Cannon. They were just faithful. Ricky Snowden, just faithful to show up. Faithful to one woman. Faithful to their children. Faithful to their jobs. Faithful to God. This faithfulness, and my prayer is that faithfulness would become attractive and sexy in our world once again. Because how many of you, how many have been through hell before? And when the stuff hit the fan, when the hockey hit the fan and things were messed up, how many of you had that person in your life that was faithful? They weren't perfect. They didn't always have it figured out, but you knew when you were struggling, and you knew when pain hit you, and you knew when you didn't know anywhere else to go, you could go to that one person because they were faithful, and they were there. That's my desire for me and my desire for you, that we would be that kind of person, steady, constant, and faithful. Let's talk about another word for faithfulness. Means allegiance or loyal. I'm thankful that allegiance to our country is coming back to our country. Can I hear a good amen? And people that are loyal to, like, I love the character quality of loyal. Loyalty is another word for faithfulness. And so I'll tell you this right quick. because loyalty is everything to me. And so an old mentor of mine years ago, when we started hiring people in the church, for 10 or 12 years it was just me, and we started hiring people. And my mentor said to me, you need to create a document that says the things that Cody values. And you need to write down the top 5 or 10 things that you really value, so that everyone that comes to work for you knows this is what you value and this is how we're going to get along and create a good culture in the office space around here. And so some of those things that are on my list of things that I value are punctuality. It's so funny because there's no one ever been any later on a steady basis than my wife. But punctuality, like if you, it's just the way that I am, and I don't mean to be that way, but I'm geared that way. But if you call up here and talk to the girls and you set an appointment with me, and that appointment is at 10 o'clock, if at 10:05, we're not having an appointment. They're just not, because I value punctuality. I'm going to be on time, and I expect you to be on time. I'll value your time. You value my time. Another thing that I value is initiative. Like, you can't go around telling everybody what to do all the time. This is your job. This is your responsibility. You know what to do. Take the initiative. Go and do those things. Another one is this. You got to have good energy and you got to have a good attitude. Who wants to work with a bunch of people that you're always going around telling them, smile a little bit, have a good attitude. Come on, everything's going to be okay. Get your energy up. No, those are things. But the number one thing on the list of things Cody values is this: loyalty. You can be late once in a while, and I'll overlook that. You know what? You cannot take the initiative, and I'll overlook that. But the one thing that means the most to me is that you be loyal to me. I'm going to mess up. You're going to mess up. But let's be loyal to one another. You got my back, and I got your back. You know what? And I'm just telling you the way it is. We all have our faults, and I shouldn't be this way, but I am. If you're ever unloyal to me, you are screwed about being my friend or hanging out with me. Because you know what? You fool me once, that's okay. It's on me, but you fool me twice, we're done. You know what I'm saying? Loyalty. God is calling us Christ followers to be loyal to him, to be loyal to the word of God, to be loyal in the middle of a world and a society that is unloyal. Faithfulness will bring the blessings of God in our life. And I'm going to prove it to you through this story. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, it's a familiar old story. I'm sure most of you that have been to church at all have heard this story. It tells the story of this guy named King Hezekiah, and King Hezekiah got sick. The prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and said, the Lord said you're going to die, dude. Like, you better get your will ready. You better get things in order. You're done. I want us to read this story of Hezekiah, and I want us to listen to the prayer of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 1 through 6, in those days Hezekiah became sick, and he was at the point of death. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, and you're not going to recover. Bad news. Can I hear a good amen? But I love, in the face of bad news, the man that was faithful to God and the man that was faithful to pray, I love his response when bad news hit. Verse number 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Hezekiah said, I need to move. I need God to move. I need God to heal me. At the moment that Hezekiah got bad news, he turned his face to the wall, which would signify that he's turning his back on the world and he's turning his back on everything else. He turned his face towards the wall and he began to pray. I'm just telling you, God hears prayers. God answers prayers. And you know what? You and I need to turn our back on this world and turn our back on this culture and begin to cry out to the living God, who does exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Hezekiah turned and he began to pray. Watch the words of the prayer of Hezekiah. Verse number 3. Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness. Please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah began to cry. And before Isaiah the prophet had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God heard Hezekiah's prayer. And the prayer of a son of God altered what God wanted to do. And God said, I will heal you. Not only am I going to heal you, I'm going to give you 15 more years to live. But what I want us to see is the words of the prayer of Hezekiah. He did not say, oh God, remember how many scriptures I can quote. He didn't, and that's a good thing. And he didn't say, oh God, remember I had perfect attendance at church. He didn't say, oh God, remember that big check that I put in the offering plate. He didn't say, remember, oh God, how I've served the poor and the needy. Hezekiah said, don't you remember that I have walked before you in faithfulness? No, he said, I am faithful. Can I tell you, Hezekiah reminded God of his faithfulness, and the faithful walk of Hezekiah moved the hand of God and changed the situation. Faithfulness will change the situations in your life and in my life as well. I could preach on this topic all day, but I'll just share a couple more scriptures and I'll move on. Let me just say it to those of you who are trying to be perfect, who are trying to figure it all out, who are thinking you got to get everything. God desires our faithfulness, not our perfection. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 23, Jesus tells the parable and he says, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If you want God to bless you and you want God to give you more, you have to learn to be faithful with the little that you've got right now. And quit whining and quit complaining and quit comparing what you have to what everybody else has and quit feeling sorry for yourself. Be faithful with what you've got right now. God will see that, honor that faithfulness, and he will give you more. Not only does faithfulness bring the blessings of God, faithfulness will bring the blessings of people around you as well. How many of you just want to faithful husband? Come on, girls. Like, thank God we don't have to be perfect, right? Come on, somebody. How many just want a faithful wife? Faithful kids, faithful parents, faithful dog. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be the best. Just be faithful. Faithful. When you and I walk out the character of the Spirit of God and show ourselves faithful, God will bless us, but other people will recognize our faithfulness and they'll say, that is someone that I can entrust something to, and it will bring the blessings of people as well. Nehemiah 7:2. Nehemiah said this, I gave my brother Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem. I gave my brother charge over Jerusalem. Why? Because he was more faithful and God-fearing than anybody else I knew. People bless people who are faithful. Just be faithful. First one is faithfulness. The second fruit that we'll talk about today, this fruit sucks. Let me just tell you right off the bat. Gentleness. Gentleness. And all the wives are looking over at their husbands doing this right here, right now. Some of you wives ain't real gentle either. I've seen you work. Gentleness, this is the hardest one for me, if I'm honest. Actually, I think it's the hardest for all of us, because sometimes when things don't go our way, we lose our gentleness and our sweetness, and we get a little bit abrasive and aggressive. Come on, somebody. Did you hear that? Even the air conditioner got aggressive on us for a moment there. I think this one is especially hard for men, because I think we misunderstand this word gentleness. I think when we hear that gentleness, it means weakness, but it doesn't mean that at all. Gentleness just means humility. It just means being humble. It just means being meek. How many of you know it takes a strong person to be humble? We got it all jacked up and backwards. Strong people are prideful people are not strong people. Prideful people are weak people. Strong people are humble people that understand that within themselves they got nothing and they bow down before a holy God who can give them everything. Gentleness, got to learn to be gentle. Like for me, Like, I'm just being honest with you. Like, I want to be a strong dude. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, we need strong men in the world these days. Like, strong men. Like, mamas and daddies, can I tell you something right now? Raise your sons up to be strong. We've made it too easy on our young men growing up. We've babied them, pampered them, petted their butts around, gave them everything that we wanted. We look at our world now. We have a bunch of little weak men that are fixing to grow up and graduate and get out of mom and daddy's comfort and care, and they're going to meet the real world, and they're going to struggle like heck. We got to raise up strong sons and strong daughters. And I want to be a strong leader. I want to be a strong husband. I want to be a strong dad. And, like, if you know me, like, my life scripture, my favorite verse ever, bar none, is Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23, and that scripture says, whatever you do, whatsoever you do, do it heartily and do it with some passion, like you're doing it for the Lord and not for anybody else. That scripture for me means grit. That scripture means passion. It means grind it out. It means testosterone. That scripture means manliness and aggression and be a leader and take charge, and that's what I want to be. But if you back up in Colossians chapter 3 a few verses to Colossians 3:12, here's what the same writer, the Apostle Paul, says. Paul says, be a man, be aggressive, be strong. But in Colossians 3:12, watch what he says right here. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long suffering. You know what I found out through reading Colossians chapter 3? I can be strong, but I can be gentle as well. And when that meets in the middle, that is a powerful, powerful thing in the hands of God. When we do both, like, I love history. I love Texas history. How many of you are proud to be a Texan in here today? Come on, somebody. Lone Star State, baby. I love history, and I love reading about the Texas Rangers. Not the baseball Texas Rangers, but the lawmen. Those men gave their lives when Texas first became a state. That's why it makes me so angry that we've allowed our border to be wide open. Because those Texas Rangers left everything and they patrolled the borders of Texas and they kept the Mexican bandits from coming over here and they kept them from stealing our cattle. They gave their lives to protect our borders. And one of my favorite Texas Rangers is a guy named Leander McNelly. Leander McNelly was down South Texas, the Nueces Strip. He was a little guy, but he was a ball of fire. And he gets down there, he was the son of a Methodist preacher. He gets down there, and the story goes, there was this big standoff. 30 or 40 Texas Rangers, 30 or 40 Mexican bandits who were stealing cattle, and they're just going towards each other, and they're shooting, and their rifles, and it's like this deal, and some Rangers get killed, and a couple of horses get killed, but when the smoke settled, Texas won the battle. Can you imagine shooting at others? Can you imagine bullets whizzing by your head, horses jumping, prancing, smoke, fear, full of this vinegar, adrenaline's going high, and when the battle is over, one of the other Texas Rangers hollers out to Captain McNelly and says, Captain McNelly, this Mexican guy's been gut shot, he's laying here dying, and he's asking for a preacher. Leander McNelly took his pistol, holstered it, rode over there, stepped off of his horse, reached in his coat pocket, pulled out his Bible, knelt down, and read scripture to this dying man who was his enemy just a few moments ago for 15 minutes until that guy passed from this life. Fire and fight in one moment. Compassion, gentleness, and concern for human life on the other moment. That's what I want to be. I struggle with that. Can I hear a good amen? If they'd have said, Captain Cody, this Mexican guy that just shot your buddy and killed him is dying over here, and he wants to have a preacher, I would say, well, today I'm not a preacher. Let me help him meet his maker. Boom! I just would have. I'm just saying. We got to remember this. The biggest, and I get it. Sometimes you got to fight. For real. Sometimes you got to be aggressive, but I just got to tell you, the biggest majority of the time, gentleness will work better. Gentleness will work better. We got to check ourselves, because here's what we got to ask ourselves. Do I use force to get what I want and to get the results I want most of the time? And if you do, and if I do, if our default is to get angry and to get up in the air and to just forget about gentleness to get what we want, then you and I need to listen to the Spirit of God, back off a little bit, and practice some gentleness. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your kids. It'll help your walk in life. We have faithfulness. We have gentleness. And the last thing we'll talk about today is this: self-control. Self-control. It's the trait of controlling your own desires. How many of you have some desires sometimes that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the nature of God? How many of you have some desires sometimes to just buck the bridle off and just go rogue? Come on, somebody. Like, I'm just telling you the truth. Like there's something within me. Like, I just want to go do what I know I shouldn't do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I just sometimes, when this opportunity arises to do this or to say this or go there, something within me is like, oh, let's get it on. Let's go. It's just always there. And if you're telling the truth, it's there for you too. And you and I have to learn to say, I'm going to practice self-control. I'm not going to go over there. Because how many of you would agree with me? Myself and my selfish desires have found me in a wreck many times in my life. Once we get saved, once we come to Christ, we're born again. Our spirit's born again. We get a new heart. We get a new mindset. And the next thing we got to do is start working on our self-control. I am alarmed at the number of Christian people that attend our churches these days in America, and they have no self-control, and they're not even trying to practice any self-control. They just want to say, I believe in God, and that's it. But listen to me. How many of you know, once you accept Christ by faith, and faith is living and active in your life, the next thing we have to do is start working on our self-control. You cannot get saved. Hear me on this. You and I, we cannot get saved, we cannot be forgiven, redeemed, and born again, and expect to live in the blessings of God if we don't learn to control ourselves. We are not going to live in the blessings of God doing everything ourselves wants to do. Self-control. If we're honest, let's be real. The reason that our lives sucked so bad in the past is because we didn't have any self-control. 2 Peter 1:5-6. 2 Peter 1:5-6 says this. Paul is talking about building our life, building our faith. He says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Faith without works is dead. Add to your faith virtue, that's the character. Add to your faith some knowledge, and add to your faith self-control. Look at me, look. Can I just be real with y'all? Look at me, look. Don't look down. You know I'm talking to you. You know the Spirit's talking to you. Practice self-control. It'll change your life. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming everything else. Quit blaming your situation. Quit blaming the way that you were raised. Quit blaming your emotions. Quit blaming your mindset. Stop. You have self-control. I'm fixing to prove it to you in the Word of God. It is not something that eludes you. It is not something that you have to earn. God has given you and I self-control, and you need to practice it and quit blaming everything else for the reason things are going wrong in your life. Self-control. Self-control. Because when we lack self-control, it will destroy us. It'll destroy us. I mean, like, I wasn't going to go there, but I am going to go there. How many know our nation is pert near, that's an old-timey word, ain't it? Our nation is pert near destroyed right now because the last generation and the last eight years of our life, we've had no self-control in our country. Marry who you want to marry. Choose your gender. Choose your lifestyle. You don't have to work. Government will give you everything. We have no borders. We've had zero self-control and expected our government to give us everything, and it's almost destroyed our country. Self-control, that's what it is. Proverbs 25:28. It's a good one for you to write down. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city that's broken into and left without walls. In biblical times, cities had walls around them. Walls to protect them from the enemy. Remember the story in the walls of Jericho? And the reason the Israelites couldn't get into the city to overtake the city is because of the walls. But then they were obedient to God and the walls fell down and they were able to go in and overcome and have the spoils of that city. When you and I lose our self-control and move out of the will of God, we let the walls fall down and give an opportunity for the enemy to come in. Free and clear to come in. We lose it sometimes. We feel like we just can't overcome. People say to me all the time for 24 years, I just couldn't help it, Cody. I just couldn't help it, Cody. I just couldn't help it, Cody. And you know what I say to that in the most spiritual way I can say? BS. You can't help it and so can I. Because watch what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. No. Everybody shout no. No, 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 no temptation. No matter what you're tempted with, no matter what you're going through, there's no temptation. None, none, no, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to somebody else on this earth. What you're going through, somebody else has already went through or they're going through right now. When we start going through things that we don't think that we deserve, the enemy will lie to us, we'll isolate ourselves, we'll have a pity party, we'll say, I don't deserve this, nobody else can do this, nobody knows what I'm going through. Yes, God knows what you're going through, and somebody else has already been through it and made a way out. Because no temptation has overtaken you, that's not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Nothing. God's not putting more on you. God's always going to let some temptation come, but he will always let his spirit be stronger in you than the temptation of the flesh so that you can overcome and escape that situation. Here's the deal. God knew that you and I would struggle with self-control. He knew that. And so you know what he did? He set us up for success. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. God has given me and you as his sons and daughters the spirit of self-control. You have it. You just have to access it and you just have to use it. Can I tell you? We have self-control over our actions. Can I tell you, we have self-control over our mind. Some of us sit and we let our minds run us crazy. We let our minds make us insane. We let our minds make us be full of depression. Our mind is going all the time. You and I have self-control over our mind. And I say that with all love and all respect because all you need to do is trust God and access the self-control that he's already given you. It's a game changer. We have control over our minds. We have control over our actions. We have control over our emotions. I know your emotions get crazy. I know your emotions go nuts. I know you're full of this and you're full of that. You and I have control over our emotions. You may go a little bit further and say this. We have control over our hormones. Come on, somebody. We have self-control. Conrad, come help me close. Get me out of this thing. We sang this song. No, wait a minute. Hold up. Look at me. Look. We sang this song a while ago. Giants are still being slain. How many believe giants are still being slain by the power of God? Sometimes the greatest giants are within us and not outside of us. Sometimes our giants are not Goliath, but sometimes our giants are our minds, our emotions, our heart. It's the things that are inside of us. And you know what? Let's kill those things by the power of self-control. If you would, stand on your feet and bow your heads. As Christians, we have got to walk out. We've got to learn to walk out the character of the Holy Spirit. Produce the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our flesh. It's our character. It's who we are. It's our very makeup. It's our DNA. And the first thing today was faithfulness. Let's make faithfulness a priority again. Let's make faithfulness a priority again. Just to be faithful. Just to be loyal, to pledge of allegiance to our God and our Savior, to pledge allegiance, to pledge loyalty. Faithfulness is a game changer, and it creates an atmosphere where God can do the miraculous. Gentleness. Come on, y'all. Let's work on being gentle. Whoo! Hard as that is for me to say. Let's work on speaking to our wife in a gentle way. And when our kids mess up, let's not jump down their throat and bark at them. Let's speak to them with gentleness. Let's be gentle. Be humble. And then let us practice self-control, God. Help us to remember that God is sovereign and he's in control of the universe and he's in control of the heavens. But help us realize and understand we're in control of our choices that we make daily. We have free will. We're in control. We're in control. We're in control. And we have to choose to control ourselves and make ourselves line up with the Spirit of God. Speak to us today as we close in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.